It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Okay, welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. Tiger football team on a bye. Basketball season getting ready to get underway, and we're going to talk about it with the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, Kim Anderson, joining us this week. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm great, Gabe. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing well because the Royals are up 2-0 in the World Series, and everything is right with my world.
So. Same with me, man. Same with me. I'm a big Royals fan, and the first two games are pretty exciting, especially game one.
I'm going to guess that your schedule is a little too busy to actually get to go to a game.
I have not been able to go to a game. My wife is dying to go to a game. She's an unbelievable Royals fan. My oldest son, Ryan, who works in media relations at North Dakota State, and my youngest son, Brett, who's a GA here for me, both attended the game Wednesday night in Kansas City. Ryan flew in from Fargo, and he was able to get some tickets, so pretty neat deal for those two guys. They really enjoyed it.
And they got their money's worth Wednesday night. And as much as I would like to spend 20 or 30 minutes talking about the Royals, I think the people listening probably are more interested in your basketball team. And so, first off, just I know you guys started practice here 2 or 3 weeks ago. Can you kind of detail for fans leading up to practice? The rules seem to change every year. How much time and what were you all able to do over the summer and leading up to October?
Well, in the summer, Gabe, we start off basically whenever summer school starts, and we have a time period of 8 hours a week, and within those 8 hours, two of them can be basketball, actually on the court working with your guys, and so we spend 2 hours a week with basketball, and then spend in that 5 to 6 hour week range doing strength stuff, conditioning, agility. We did yoga. We played football. We went bowling. We did all kinds of different things, just to try to get our guys, ready for what's going to happen in the fall. And I've said this before. I think one thing I learned, I think as coaches you always learn things, but one thing I learned from year one to year two is that, if you start summer school June 15th or June 5th, you don't need to be ready to play a game by June 15th. You don't have a game till November. So we actually changed things up quite a bit. We try to do some more individual skill development, because we felt that was an area that we needed to work on. We probably did a little less defensive stuff, but it's more, let's get better individually. Did a little bit of team stuff, but that was kind of our focus for the summer. And then when we started with school for about the first 3 weeks, you can spend 2 hours a week with your guys, same deal, 8 hours, 2 hours, but you can only have four guys at a time. So I don't know why that rule exists, but that's what it is. And so, you would have we had about 15 or 16 guys who had four groups of four, and we would go probably about three times a week for about 45 minutes or 40 minutes each. So, and then once mid-September hit, we were still in 2 hours a week, but you could have your whole team there. And so, again, we would practice 3 days a week for 40 minutes. And then you still have your 6 hours of strength and conditioning. And then once, I think it was October 4th or 5th, right after the football game at home on that Sunday, I think it was October 4th, then you could go full, you could go full practice, 20 hours a week of combined practice and strength and conditioning. So we're about on practice 18, I believe, 18 or 19 now since we started. And, we've progressed at a rapid pace, and we're where we could play a game, I guess, if we had to. So we're in pretty good shape physically, and continuing to add things every day and try to get better.
Before we talk basketball, which we'll do, you mentioned yoga and bowling and all these other things you did. So off the basketball court, who's the most well-rounded athlete on your team?
Oh, man. I tell you who's pretty good at football. Wes Clark and Terrence Phillips are both really good in football. They wouldn't let me into yoga, so I don't. They kept me out. They didn't want me to participate in yoga. I know they enjoyed their yoga instructor, and she was very good at getting them to concentrate. None of them are any good at bowling. I can tell you that right now. So, but football was interesting. Terrence had a nice arm. Wes catch the ball. Keenan made a couple catches. It was not a defensive game. It was 63-57 maybe or something.
Wow.
So, yeah, we didn't have a whole lot of defense, but it was a good experience. You know, and it does kind of show. You know, you do have good athletes, much like Coach Pinkel's. A lot of, you know, his football players, you know, are former basketball players, and it's always amazing to watch how athletic those guys are.
Now, obviously, you know, you've talked plenty about last year and whatever. It was what it was. Understand it wasn't up to your expectations or anybody over there. But the question I wanted to ask you coming off last year is, what would you say to somebody that would view last year as a lost season? You said you learned a lot, but I mean, the results on the court, some kids leave, you know, do you feel like that year has better prepared this program for year two?
No question. I think that's a great statement on your part. I think that, you know, no one wants to finish 9-23. I mean, nobody wants to do that, but I do think that, as we came into this program, you know, there were some challenges, and I think that you know, we worked on meeting those challenges or beating those challenges or whatever you want to say. I certainly learned a lot as a coach. I think the players learned a lot. But I think bottom line, Gabe, you know, if you're going to play, there's a certain way you want to do things, you know, at any school you're at. I know people get tired of the word culture, you know, we're trying to establish this culture, and I thought we made progress with that, and we have made progress with that. Now, we have to continue to build, and we have to continue to get better. But, you know, there are areas where we obviously needed improvement, and there are areas where we needed to maintain. And I thought we did that. Now, what will the results be? I think that remains to be seen. But I certainly feel more comfortable with this group of young men, and I think they probably feel more comfortable with me. And I can definitely say that it's been much more enjoyable for me to go to practice every day. Part of that is because of a better familiarity with the guys, and part of that is I think that we've assembled a staff that's very good, and so we're looking forward to putting the pieces together and getting better.
Talking with Mizzou head basketball coach Kim Anderson, and you mentioned that, you know, obviously there were some issues with this program when you took over. Everybody understands that. And one thing Gary Pinkel said way back when he took over here, and he's referenced it a lot of times, he said, there were a lot of problems here that we didn't create, but the minute I took this job, those became my problems. You know, so I guess I'm not asking necessarily, hey, how much of this was beyond your control and isn't your fault or whatever. But Gary Pinkel said, hey, once I took this job, it's all on me. It's all my fault. What's your what's kind of your stance and how you would respond to whatever existed when you got here and you inheriting that and it's now yours?
Well, I agree with him 100%. As a matter of fact, I really have a great, tremendous amount of respect for Coach Pinkel, and I've actually, you know, kind of studied the way he built his program, and you know, I'm not going to say I'm exactly like that, but certainly the model has been very successful. And he is right. You know, the minute I walked on his campus, whatever date it was, April 29th or May 1st, whatever it was, whatever was here was, now it's on me. You know, now it's up to me to get it right, you know, to correct, to change, to maintain, you know, whatever it is that you have to do, it's up to me. You can't worry about what was in the past. You have to address the issues that were here. And obviously there were some changes made, but those were done in the best interest of the University of Missouri basketball program, and that's kind of the route we've taken. We have chosen, I know maybe you'll ask me about recruiting, but you know, we have chosen to have a recruiting base do a great job in the middle part of the country. Obviously, you want to get the best players in the state of Missouri. You don't always get them. Sometimes they don't want to live in Missouri anymore. Sometimes they want to get away, or you know. Sometimes they're Minnesota Twin fans and they want to go to Minnesota. You know, who knows? But we've tried to do a better job of targeting our recruiting in this part of the country. Not saying we wouldn't go east or west or anything like that, or north and south, but that's one area where we felt like, hey, let's attract kids who know about Missouri, who want to be at Missouri. I had one of my guys in here the other day. We were talking about, and he's not from Missouri, but he's from Illinois. And we were talking about his school and what he wanted to do. He wanted to go into business and stuff. And so we were talking about, he was a Missouri guy, even though he's not from Missouri, you know. And I said, you're one of those guys that are going to come back every homecoming, aren't you? And he goes, Coach, I'll be here for every homecoming. So, you know, you're not going to get all guys like that, but, you know, just guys that maybe have a little bit of feel for the university.
I do. That brings up an interesting point, and I want you to kind of answer this both now and then historically when you worked for Coach Stewart, and maybe even back when you were in school, because I think fans are always going to focus on, you know, in recruiting, the kids that don't come here. But let's be honest, Kim, if you go back 20, 25 years, you could make All-American teams of kids who are from Missouri who didn't come to the University of Missouri, especially in the last probably 5 to 7 years, going back, starting with, like, Brad Beal's age. What's the attitude and what are the challenges – but for this program, both now and really over the last 25 years, of trying to keep those kids? And like you said, hey, my son goes to high school a mile and a half from the University of Missouri. He probably doesn't want to go to college there. But other places, you know, you see those kids stay home a lot of times. So what are the challenges for this program to change that?
Well, you know, Gabe, I think one thing is obviously we have to improve. You know, I think just from a performance standpoint, and that will happen. That will happen. But the University of Missouri has every opportunity or every amenity that you need to be a world-class athlete, student athlete, and you have obviously a great institution, a great educational institution, and then everything you need from a student athlete standpoint to be successful. Over the years, it has been interesting. And people say, well, you know, certain guys didn't come to Mizzou. Why didn't they come to Mizzou? Well, they didn't like this, they didn't like that, or Mizzou didn't call them enough, or Mizzou didn't write them enough letters, or Mizzou didn't do this, or Mizzou didn't do that. I think bottom line is, we just have to continue to work at it. I do feel really good about or 2017, 2018, you know, even into 2019 recruiting within the state. You know, I think we've been able, I don't think we're completely caught up yet, but I think we're, you know, when I got here, there was really no long-term recruiting, at least that I was aware of recruiting. And we focus, like I said, more in the middle part of the country and in the middle and in the state. You know, I know why do young men go to schools? You know, there's a variety of different reasons. You know, the thing that I've told you know, people that ask me is, you know, and most of them are Mizzou people. You know, they're Mizzou grads or they're big Mizzou fans. And you know, when they ask me, I say, well, you know what? If you want a certain guy to come to Missouri or a certain young lady to come to Missouri, whenever you're out talking to people and whenever you're around, whenever you're at parties or whenever you're at games or wherever you're at, you're at work, then you need to talk good about the University of Missouri because it's a great place. You know, you don't go to the copy machine and say, yeah, but, you know, Kim Anderson had on a blue tie the other night. I don't think that's the best place for this kid to go, you know. And by the way, I never wear any other color tie but black and gold. I've already been reminded of that. But, you know, you've got to always, you know, I tell people, hey, you got to be positive about your school. You can always find reasons not to come somewhere. You can always find reasons to go somewhere. I mean, you know, but you know, people think they want to always say, well, the coach didn't do this, coach do that. I would tell you this, Gabe, 99% of the coaches do everything they can. And I'm not just talking at Missouri, I'm talking at every school in the country. So, you know, what makes young men tick? You know, what excites kids? You know, maybe they have a great visit, maybe they don't have a great visit. You know, we've had kids come in this fall that have had tremendous visits and have interacted well with our kids, and that's a big selling point. You know, you got to have guys in your program that can help sell your program. Mm-hmm. And I think our guys this fall have done a great job of that. A
couple more on recruiting. One, and I'll use the 99% figure of coaches you just mentioned. I understand 99% of coaches either don't pay any attention to recruiting rankings or wouldn't admit that they do. But history says in college basketball, you cannot win at an elite level if you don't have, you know, at least one of those, you know, McDonald's All-American type kids on your team. Can you win at the level you want to win at if you aren't able to get kids of that level at Missouri?
I think you can win. You know, Gabe, I learned this last year. And, you know, there's people that criticize me because I was a Division II coach, and they, you know, well, he doesn't really know what he's doing. But, you know, the Division I, you know, you just talked about the rankings. And you know, I learned this a year ago, that those rankings really don't mean a whole lot. I mean, they sound pretty good, and they're good for your site. You know, they probably help sell some subscriptions and stuff like that. But I think would it be great to sign a top 25 guy? Sure, it'd be great. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's a top 25 guy. It just means somebody rated him in the top 25. Now, most of the time, those guys are really good. Don't get me wrong. But when you get to a certain number, 50 on, you know, just as a general statement, you know, why are they picked where they're at? You know, there's a lot of different reasons. So, you know, it'd be great to have one of those guys, and hopefully maybe someday we will. I think you can win. I think you can win without them. There are programs that are winning without them. I don't know that they're winning national championships, which is our ultimate goal, but I think there's programs that are winning without a top 10 player or a top 20 player.
I don't want to keep you here all day, so I want to make sure we move on to this year's team. The major criticism of last year's team that I know you personally even had was there just didn't seem to be a leader on that team. So who's your leader?
Well, I think we're closer to having, you know, it's hard to go down to practice later on today and say, okay, Ryan Rosberg, you're our leader. You know, that's something that you got to kind of earn and develop and, you know, over the years. But I think Wes Clark has emerged as a leader, not necessarily a rah-rah leader, not necessarily a guy that you know is runs out of the locker room waving the flag, but he's a guy who's I think improved a lot. You know, I think a younger guy, you know, I think Terrence Phillips is a natural leader just by virtue of his position and his personality. But he's a freshman, so, you know, it's kind of hard to say, hey, Terrence, you're going to be our leader. I think we have better leadership than we had a year ago. But I do think that's still an evolving concept, and hopefully as you heard me say this a lot last year, you know, this team needs to have something good happen to it. Mm-hmm. And I say the same thing again. I said, you know, this team needs to hopefully to have something good happen, you know, in the early going, play well, you know, obviously win some games, you know, develop better chemistry. You know, as much as there was a lack of leadership maybe perceived last year, I think there also was there just wasn't a lot of chemistry. This guy's just, and it's not that they're bad guys, it's just that they don't, you know, they just didn't fit together. And I've seen that happen. I mean, I've been head coaches of teams that had bad chemistry, you know, but they could still win games. And you know, this team, I think the chemistry is better, the leadership model is better, and so their practice habits are better, and so hopefully their production will be better as time goes on. It's still a real, you know, and I know you sit in there with me every week when we talk, but it's still a young team. It's still a team with 8 out of 12 scholarship players who are freshmen and sophomores, and the other two are junior college guys who are first year guys. So, but they have been better, and they've been better in the practice situation.
That leads to something I wanted to talk to you about. It does relate to this team, but it relates to this program, and certainly predates when you got here, and goes back probably honestly to about when you left, and that is stability, not only at the head coach position, which there hasn't been very much of in the last since Coach Stewart left, but also within the program. I mean, this is probably the fourth or fifth straight year that I've covered a Missouri basketball team, and it's true, like you said, it's true, but that we're hearing this is a young team or this is an inexperienced team. At some point, am I accurate in saying the off-season defections, the wholesale changing out of rosters has to stop? I mean, guys have to stay. The guys on your team this year have to largely be the guys on your team next year. And I understand attrition and transfers do happen for different reasons, but is that a key going forward, that you have to get guys that are here for 3 and 4 years? The fans can't be going to the black and gold game going, I don't know who these guys are.
Well, yes, that is true. I think that, you know, we lost two guys mm-hmm. last year. And yes, you're absolutely correct, because if not, if guys are only going to be here a year or 2 years, then we should just go try to recruit Division I transfers or fifth-year guys or junior college guys and not really build a program, you know. We're just building a team for that year, you know. And so that does have to happen. Now, on the other side of that, though, Gabe, is that the nature of our sport, the nature of our sport says that you're going to have defections every year. The best teams in the country move guys every year. Mm-hmm. And it's a situation where young men want to play. They perceive themselves as being guys who can play maybe right away. Our culture, our basketball culture, is one of many of our student athletes. Have people who are talking to them all the time. Hey, you should be playing more. Hey, you're a three man. When the best ones I like are the ones that come in and people say when you're recruiting them, hey, my guy's a three man and he can't dribble and he can't guard and he's a three man. Well, that's the nature of our game. The game is a global game. The game has so many different people now that influence it. So you're always going to have defections. But to answer your question, yeah, we need continuity. Hopefully we'll have continuity. But, I think I've seen two different figures, somewhere between 600 and 750 guys transferred last year from Division I programs. So, I mean, there's 350 programs. So you look at it and you say, well, there's one or two per program on an average. And I think that's just going to happen. I'm hopeful that the guys that are here will remain here, because that's part of the program. The part of the plan is to take a guy as a freshman and develop him, and then by the time he's a sophomore and a junior and senior, he gets better. I would tell you this, that the guys who were freshmen last year who are sophomores now are better than they were. Wes is better than he was. Ryan's a senior, so they all get better. And they understand better what we do. We still have a long way to go. And we can't really, I know we can't talk about specifics, but we did scrimmage a Division I program, and it was unbelievably great for us. Mm-hmm. We got out of it exactly what we needed to get out of it. We saw where we were at. We knew we know better what we need to work on. And more importantly, Gabe, our guys know how hard you have to play to be successful at this level. And so it was good. It was good. And, it was something I think that helped us.
I know, like you said, you can't really talk about that event. I've seen it. There's a story out there. Arizona State had one. Is that a pretty common thing that we just don't know about that teams do?
Yeah, you get two opportunities where you can play either an exhibition game or a scrimmage. Normally in the past we've done two exhibition games, and this year we thought that, just from a development standpoint, it would be better if we went and scrimmaged. Actually, the team we scrimmaged came here, but if we, if we did that, because you can do whatever you want. You can play 340 or 320 minute periods. You can work on special situations. You can say, hey, play zone for 10 minutes, we'll play zone, hey, press, hey, trap, hey, here, put 10 seconds on the clock, stuff like that. So, you can kind of choreograph what you want to do. And so it's like a really glorified practice. Mm-hmm. And you can work on a lot of different things. A lot of times I see NFL teams doing that, two teams will get together and most of the time, though, when I see them, they end up in fights.
I was going to say, it wasn't like a Cowboys situation where you were throwing trash cans.
We had no fights or anything, but it was really good in that you can just kind of do do what you want to do and work with the coach of the other team. So from that standpoint, I think it was really helpful. But more importantly, it was great for the freshmen to be able to go play, because the team we did scrimmage had some older guys, and they were, and they had some guys, some transfers, some guys have been sitting out, and so it showed us. And our practices, Gabe, since then have been maybe the best three or four practices I've had since I've been here. So I just hope that continues. That doesn't mean they were the most beautiful practices, but the intensity level was really good, and just the way our guys came about working was good.
Just got two or three more for you, if you've got a few minutes. Halloween and hoops event, both you and Coach Pinchton on Friday night. What kind of do you guys get out of that, and what can fans get out of that if they come over?
Well, fans, first of all, hope they have fun. You know, maybe come over if they've got kids, man. Bring your kids over at 5:30. I know our guys are going to be up on the concourse, and the ladies, and Rob and I are going to be up there. And I know they've got some games and stuff. I'm sure there'll be plenty of sugar that they can ingest for the evening. From a basketball standpoint, you know, it's just a chance to watch our guys. I know they're having a shootout in between. I think someone could possibly win some free tuition. But our guys will play. I think we'll play about 16 minutes. We will have practiced earlier in the day. But it's a chance to get out in front of the crowd and have some fun. And hopefully we'll be productive from a basketball standpoint. But more than anything, I think it's something that's for the people, for the kids, for the fans, and hopefully for the students. We hope we get a lot of students here.
Season opens in 15 days, and I mean, by Thanksgiving, you will have played Xavier, Kansas State, potentially North Carolina. But that season opener, Wofford is a team that almost took out Arkansas out of the NCAA tournament last year. I equated them to like the Belmont team that beat Missouri a number of years back, where the name's not recognizable, but they're a good team. And it, you know, that's kind of a tough one to start with. I think you would agree last year, I mean, stumbling out of the gate against UMKC really kind of set a bad tone right off the start. How important is it that you guys come out and beat a team and play well against a team that, you know, the average fan might not think it is a great program, but they've got a pretty good team down there?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. I think, you know, last year, losing that first game, and not to take anything away from UMKC, they played well. Certainly started things off in a negative manner. I did not schedule Wofford, so I just want to make sure you. I don't know if when you edit this, you may want to just replay that like 10 times. You know, okay. I did not schedule Wofford, but certainly a great team, a tremendous challenge for us. A team that was very successful a year ago, like you said, made the NCAA tournament. So it's a tough opener, but there's not a whole lot I can do about it. I haven't done the scheduling yet. So hopefully by next year I'll be able to add my twist to the schedule. But you know, this is a great team. It's a great opportunity for our guys, you know, and hopefully we'll come out and play well. It'd be a great win. I mean, I think it's a team that's they're going to be good again. And you don't recognize them because they're, you know, from a smaller conference, but they're very well coached. So it'll be a tough game.
Last thing for you, and from your opening press conference, you have never shied away from it, saying, hey, I know what criticisms are out there. I know what talk is out there. I know you don't maybe pay a lot of attention to it, but you certainly...
Not anymore.
Yeah, you certainly hear it. So I guess the question I want to ask you is, do you spend 1 second of any day thinking about it? Everybody talks about this team needs to show progress. You've said it. Mac Rhodes has said it, all that. The elephant in the room is, you know, is that progress related to your job security? Do you spend 1 second thinking about that? And have you had any talks with Mac Rhodes about what this team needs to do to make sure that you get year three?
Well, Mac's been very supportive. And you know, I think Mac is a visionary guy. I think he's done a great job since he's gotten here. You know, Gabe, as far as job security, you know, there's been one day in the last 13 years, going on 14 years, when I didn't worry about my job. And that's the day after we won the national championship at Central Missouri. I thought we were pretty solid.
How about the day you got hired here? I imagine you felt pretty secure there.
Well, yeah, I did. But you all know, and there's really not much I can worry about that. You know, I'm doing the best I can. And, again, our administration's been supportive. But, you know, over time, you do. You have to show progress. And, you know, I think we have a good plan in place. And, you know, I hope we can carry that plan out. And then I can be the head coach here for many years. And, you know, that's what I'm planning to do.
How do you define progress? I mean, do you look at this team and this schedule and say, okay, we need to be eligible for this tournament or win this number of games? Or is it a more 30,000-foot big picture view for you?
No, I think it's a big picture for me. I mean, I think, you know, improve in a lot of different in facets, you know, offensively, defensively, you know, play harder, be competitive, win games. We got to win games. Don't get me wrong, but I think we just have to get better. You know, kind of like in football in all phases. And I think if we do that, we'll win games. You know, are we going to win the national championship? Probably not. Probably not this year. But I certainly think we can improve and we can get better. You know, the schedule's tough. The league's tougher, I think. But again, you know, there's a whole lot of things that you can't really control what people think. And, you and I don't always agree, but certainly at the end of the day, I understand your job. You understand my job. And so that's kind of, you go out and do your job every day and do the best you can. And if you do that, then you'll be the coach here for several years.
All right. Well, Kim, we will both be doing our jobs tomorrow night. If you found a way to put game three, say, on the scoreboard, I wouldn't object, but.
Hey, I do have one thing I want to say, and I know you won't mind. You know, Brad Luce's daughter, Ryan, you know, has been diagnosed with cancer, with neuroblastoma, and it's a stage 4 cancer. And, you know, we're just trying to ask everybody to pray for Ryan. If you feel so inclined to contribute financially, you can go to our website, and there's a lot of information on there. But you know, I've been with Brad for a long time, and certainly, you know, we just all want to be with him and Jen and Brady and Charlie and of course Ryan and help her to this recovery. So I know you got a lot of people that listen to this, and if they feel so inclined to help out, we certainly would appreciate it. But everybody can say a prayer, and thank you for giving me that you know minute or two form there where I could just give my feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. My mistake. I should have brought that up on my own.
Will no, there be, that's okay.
Will there
that's
be any okay. way for maybe tomorrow night for fans to contribute while they're there or at least get information?
No, there are. Last I heard, I know they're going to have bracelets. We have bracelets, Rally for Ryan bracelets, and I believe there may be some T-shirts for sale, too. So all that money goes into to help defray medical costs and over and above whatever the insurance doesn't cover. And you know, I think ultimately if the insurance covers, you know, whatever that Brad's indicated to me about, you know, donating the money back to the hospital, the pediatric unit. So it's all for a good cause and, you know, good family and good basketball coach and a good friend.
All right. Well, definitely our best wishes to Coach Luce and his family. And, Ken, thanks for being so generous with your time today. We will see you tomorrow night.
Okay, Gabe. Hey, thanks.
All right, have a good one. Kim Anderson, the head coach at the University of Missouri. And honestly, listen, I know that everybody listening to this, you care a lot more if Kim Anderson wins games than about anything else. But that's a head coach who opens his season in effectively in 8 days and just took 40 minutes to talk to me and was very candid, honest with his answers like he always is. It's not the most important part of his job. I get that. The most important part of his job is to win basketball games. He gets that. But there aren't a lot of head coaches that would spend that amount of time, on our podcast with tens of listeners on the internet. So do appreciate that. Certainly, Rally for Ryan. It's R-H-Y-A-N. And that is something I said I should have brought up earlier. A lot of things I wanted to get to with Kim, and it slipped my mind, to be quite honest. But Brad Luce's daughter, I believe she's 5 years old. Diagnosed with cancer. They don't know exactly what it is. It's serious. There's a Facebook page set up. We've linked that on Power Mizzou. We'll do it again. We'll tweet it out. If you go to Halloween and Hoops on Friday night, they'll have things you can do to help out. Go to MU Tigers, the Mizzou basketball website. There are ways to link to it from there. So, that's certainly bigger than basketball. And Kim has said Brad Luce will be back with the basketball team whenever he is ready. So, again, something that needs to be out there that fans need to hear about, because whether you have a kid or not, can't imagine what Brad Luce and his wife and his family are going through. But, again, it's basketball. They got to win games. That starts November 13th, 15 days from now, against Wofford. It's a tough schedule. This is a team that I think they should be better than last year, because I don't know how they can be worse than last year. Last year started out bad, and that team, I don't think, had much belief anything was going to go its way, and it didn't. So I think it's huge that they win that Wofford game and maybe beat K-State and Kansas City and get some momentum going early. I published my kind of expectations earlier this week. I think somewhere between 13 and 17 wins is where this team can be. If it goes really well, a little better. If it goes terribly, again, a little worse. Again, you heard Kim talk about it. I agree. Progress is a tough thing to define. It's not a number of wins necessarily, but wins are a part of it. And at the end of this year, that number of wins and that progress is going to come into consideration on what the future of this program is. I strongly believe that the future of that will involve Kim Anderson for at least one more year. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't, unless things just go terribly, terribly wrong. But they do have to show progress. It can't be 9-23 again. He knows that, you know that, and I know that. So we'll see what it is. Wanted to take a chance. This is the busiest time of year. Basketball's starting, football's going on, recruiting's going on, but with football on a bye, we wanted to take some time to talk basketball, and for the fans who are out there, I understand the enthusiasm for the program isn't where it was 3 years ago, but there still are a lot of passionate Missouri basketball fans, and so hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing from the coach and hearing his take on things. Again, Halloween and Hoops starts at 5:30 tomorrow night. I think the women's team will play sometime between 6 and 7. Men's team, I think, plays about 7. You need to double-check that information. You can find it anywhere. Use yahoo.com for your search engine. Hopefully I will get some money out of saying that on the podcast. But anyway, Kim Anderson, thanks for his time. Thank you all for listening. And we will probably not have a podcast next Thursday because Missouri plays Mississippi State Thursday night. I don't really have any desire to do a podcast 5 hours before kickoff. So, may do one on Wednesday. We may take a week off. Either way, thanks for listening, and we will let you know when we're back. You can find the podcast on iTunes. If you're listening to this, you know this. It's on Stitcher. We also are starting with this episode, going to put it on SoundCloud. So everybody can follow powermizzou.com on SoundCloud. I tweet these out. I post them on the site. There's a number of ways you can find it. If you want to listen, you're going to find it. Hope you do. Thanks, and we'll be back.